News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. We've had a slight amount of snow out there, just a little bit of a squall today. But I hope you made it to work safely if you had to go in. If you didn't have to go in, well, I'm happy for you. This is, of course, a show where we have conversations about things that you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. If it's been in our news coverage, it'll show up on Our Take in a more in-depth fashion. And we have longer conversations with the folks who are in the know and making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. Coming up on today's program, we have multiple guests. First of all, we'll talk with Michigan State Police because, you know, with this snowstorm going on, they once again want to remind people how to be safe. Now, as far as I know, there have been no massive pileups today anywhere, so that's good. But state police just want to remind everyone of those safety tips in these winter storms. So why not? We'll have a spokesperson on the show today. We'll also talk with the Coast Guard about ice safety and you, the Coast Guard reminding people, don't go on ice. It's not a good idea. We'll talk with the Out Center on today's program about an incident they had this week. The Out Center in Benton Harbor received a threat. I chatted with the Out Center director, Mary Jo Schnell, about how they are dealing with that and what message they want to get out to the community. And also, we'll talk to the Berrien County Health Department about hepatitis C, and we'll also learn about an event they're holding next week, giving everyone a chance to get free tests for STDs. And then finally, we'll close out today's edition of the program with a quick box office preview. Normally, Jacob Holmes, our man in the dark, joins me for that. He missed last week because he was on vacation, and now today he's not in. He had to call in sick, so he won't be here. That's for the best. If you're feeling unwell, don't go to work, especially with the flu season the way it is. But I'll fill you in on what your new options are at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this weekend. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Right now it's time for a quick break. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in on this snowy Friday. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Well, if you've looked out your window, you may have noticed we got some snow. Actually, we're getting snow still. It's going to continue all day. Winter storm warning in effect. And Michigan State Police, ahead of this, sent out notice to everybody. A friendly reminder from your Michigan State Police just about how to protect yourself when the weather is like this. I chatted with spokesperson Dale George. He's actually a spokesperson for the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Division of Michigan State Police about what everyone needs to know when there is a winter storm. Let's see what advice Dale had for us. All right, Dale, we've got more snow on the way. The snowstorm, winter storm continues here. So what advice does Michigan State Police want to offer Michiganders while the weather is like this?
Well, with this winter storm expected to drop as much as 10 inches of snow on parts of southern lower Michigan, the Michigan State Police is encouraging residents and visitors to stay safe during the severe weather. If you can, avoid non-essential travel. If you do have to head out, take it slow on the ice and snow, and give yourself some extra time to get to your destination. Also, although crews are working to clear the roads, we're encouraging everyone to monitor road conditions before you travel. If you do have to travel, you can go to michigan.gov/roadconditions and michigan.gov/drive, and also check with your local weather reports, that your local stations, wherever you get your weather from, or wherever you plan to go, check their weather reports as well. And if your route looks dangerous, reschedule or postpone if you can, and you really have to consider if it's worth the risk of traveling there. Also, if you are going to travel, make sure you have an emergency preparedness kit in your vehicle. Keep things in that kit like a flashlight, blanket, tow strap, cat litter, or sand if you get stuck and you get some better traction to get out. Shovels, flares, first aid kits, non-perishable high-energy food items, and things of that sort.
Right, and it seems like it's especially important this year to keep all those things in mind. With all the pileups we've had on the highway, it seems like we've just had more of them this year than in a normal year.
It's always hazardous whenever we have a lot of snow, a lot of ice. And it's just best to, you know, keep in mind what those conditions are and really weigh, is it worth the risk of traveling at this time? And I understand it's essential for travel at some times. And again, if you do have to go out there and travel, just remember, you know, take it slow.
All right. Anything people should do in their homes to stay safe when there's a winter storm?
Well, you know, this winter storm, it should act as a reminder to Michigan residents to make winter emergency preparedness a priority. I mean, now's the time to take a few extra steps to ensure that you and your family are prepared in the event of a really severe winter storm. You know, you can take steps like, you know, weatherproofing your home, installing weather stripping, caulking, insulating walls and doors, insulate your water lines that run along the exterior walls so they don't freeze and burst. You know, lock in propane. Well, it's a little late to lock in propane right now, but, you know, think ahead of winter and you can do that. But another thing to keep in mind, you know, if you're going to, if there's heavy rain or snow, you know, that can cause some power outages. And if there's power outages, you know, a lot of people will use generators. So if you have no power and you're using a generator, please do not put the generator in your house or garage. You know, put it outside and away from the house. Make sure the exhaust faces away from the house as well. You know, generators produce carbon monoxide, which is deadly. Make sure you have a carbon monoxide detector in your home. And if you suspect carbon monoxide poisoning, immediately get out of your home and go to a safe place outside and call 911. Another thing to keep in mind is, you know, to check on your neighbors during the snowstorm, especially the older residents and those with functional needs. You know, be a good neighbor. Give them assistance if they need it, if you're able to do that. And also, if you're out there clearing off your drive, be very careful when shoveling. You know, if you have a health or heart concern, please seek help. And, you know, a neighbor, relative, someone who can provide assistance maybe with that. And just ask if you can get some help.
We're talking with Dale George of the Michigan State Police about just how to make sure you're safe in these weather conditions. Dale, is there one major mistake that people make in these sort of storms?
Well, I would say, you know, just make sure you're taking it slow when you're out there. You can gauge, you know, whether you're going at a dangerous speed, and, you know, just go to slow speed. Make sure you have full control of your vehicle when you're out there. If your vehicle does start to skid, you turn in the direction of that skid. And if you do go off the road and you become stranded or stuck, just remember to stay with your vehicle and wait for help. You don't want to be wandering out there in a snowstorm. It's a dangerous place to be.
All right, Dale. Well, this winter here in Southwest Michigan has been a barrel of monkeys, and it continues to be today. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, just want to reiterate, you know, don't crowd the plow if you come upon it out there. You know, they're out there trying to help and clear the roads. And the fewer vehicles that are on the roadway, give those guys, you know, a better opportunity to clean off the roads, clear that snow off the road in a much safer environment.
All right, that's Michigan State Police spokesperson Dale George right there chatting with us about the winter storm that's been going on today. And as long as we're talking safety, which is my favorite topic, I thought we'd catch up with the U.S. Coast Guard. They recently reached out to me because they wanted to remind people not to go out on the ice. It's just a bad idea. So I chatted with Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez from the St. Joseph Coast Guard Station about this. And let's hear what he had to say. Okay, Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez. So there's something you wanted to get out to people here in Southwest Michigan this time of year. What is your message about ice?
So the Coast Guard's message to the public every year is no ice is safe ice. We recommend staying off the ice. Even if you're, it's family tradition, it's et cetera, et cetera. We go through these fluctuations in temperatures, and the ice deteriorates so much that it's always unreliable, is what we like to say.
All right, and, you know, just because it's cold does not mean that the ice is stable.
That's correct. Like I was saying, the deterioration of the ice, you don't know. It's the term that we use, it's called the devil's blanket. When you get a little bit of ice on the top, you get a good freeze, and then it snows, and it looks like a solid object. It looks like it would be safe to go on through. But when, in reality, it's just blanketing how thin the ice possibly can be.
Do you know how many times, typically, in a given year, the St. Joe Coast Guard has to go rescue somebody?
In the past 3 years, it's been well. I like to believe that we're pushing out the message with no ice is safe ice, and we've only had 3 documented cases here in St. Joseph.
All right, now I know that you talk about Lake Michigan a lot when there's ice there, but inland lakes and ponds and so forth, do the same rules apply or are they different?
No, they aren't any different. The Coast Guard stance is like it's almost like that repeat. We're always saying no ice is safe ice. However, the state does offer they give measurements depending on the thickness of ice and how long the freeze was on what can be acceptable for being on the ice for some of the inland lakes. But we hold strong on staying off the ice. You're safer to look at it from a distance than to try to go out and enjoy it.
Okay. All right, if somebody does fall through, what should you do?
Everyone likes to think that, yeah, if you fall through, we're all athletic, strong enough to overcome it. But it's called a 1-10-1 rule that we teach our guys as ice rescuers, and we like to spread out to the public. You have 1 minute to control your breathing. The minute you fall through, it's that gasp. No, it doesn't matter your ability and how strong you are. You take that gasp, your head goes under, and that's how most people we lose, a victim drowns immediately just from that initial shock of it. But if you can, within that 1 minute, control your breathing, you have 10 minutes of meaningful movement before your body starts to retract the blood and you start to slow down, and 1 hour of consciousness.
Huh.
So if you do fall through the ice, we say the best thing is, one, not be on the ice, but two, if you found yourself on the ice, is a self-rescue. Put your thumbs right to your chest and army crawl and kick your legs as hard as you can. And the minute you can get off the ice shelf, roll towards what we like to say, a thicker sheet of ice. Roll towards land to where you came from.
All right, and what if you see someone fall in?
Call 911. The fastest way to deploy the Coast Guard, and that's our ice rescue teams, our helicopters, is to call 911. We have a great relationship between Bering County Dispatch and our not our headquarters, but our other unit is Milwaukee, and they'll dispatch us out to the scene.
Right, and just recently Coast Guard rescued an individual who fell off the bridge, the Bicentennial Bridge.
Fortunate here in St. Joseph, Benton Harbor, and the small surrounding areas, we have a fast response, and we were able to get on scene, assist the victim, and get them as quickly off. And again, our ice rescuers fell through the ice going to the victim. So it looks stable, and where the victim was fine, but it's so unpredictable, you cannot predict where and how thin it is, and you're not even taking into account current that will push you down.
We've been talking with Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez, St. Joe Coast Guard Station. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Nope. I think that's the message is what we've said, gone over so far. And if you're ever interested in learning more about the ice or learning about what the Coast Guard does, we invite people. You're welcome to come down to the station. We'll let you know the next time we're out on training, and we like to talk about what we do, and we like to visit schools, churches, anyone that will listen to us. We'll go out and we'll spread the message of safety on the ice.
All right, that's Lazaro Lopez, St. Joe Coast Guard Station, reminding everyone no ice is safe ice, and he had some good advice there for what to do if you fall through. So we appreciate Lazaro's time. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now we'll take a break here on Our Take. When we come back, we will chat with Mary Jo Schnell of the Out Center in Benton Harbor. They had an incident this week. The Out Center received a threat online, and so Mary Jo sent out a message to Out Center supporters about security and about solidarity, and we'll chat with her about that on the next segment of the show. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. Stick around, we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. For this segment of the show, I thought we would chat with the Out Center in Benton Harbor, specifically director of the Out Center, Mary Jo Schnell. Yesterday, they sent out notice that the Out Center had received a threat this past week online. And everything's fine, but Mary Jo had a message for Out Center supporters. I caught up with her and heard about what happened. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Mary Jo, so the Out Center in Benton Harbor is an LGBTQ advocacy organization and location. And is it correct to say that someone's been harassing you?
Yes, I think that's an okay statement or descriptor. I don't know if that's the legally accepted language, but the short story is that we received a couple of Facebook posts on our Facebook page, and they were pretty much hate speech, LGBTQ hate speech. We know this person. He's come into the Out Center before, but he's actually, and with the same kind of rhetoric, but he's never threatened before. And so this was very new for him to, you know, the rhetoric, okay, well, that's expected from this person. But when there are threats inciting others to do something about the Out Center and LGBT people, well, then, you know, that's a whole different thing going on beyond harassment, right? So, yeah, that was kind of a very sudden development for us.
So, what did you do?
Oh my gosh! Well, immediately contacted our fabulous folks at the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. My board, executive officers, as well as contacted staff and volunteers to make them aware. Complaint was filed and alerted others, partner organization sites, that kind of thing, you know, all the good stuff about risk management. There's such a small percentage of people who actually do anything, even though they say something, but we also know that we live in a different time, where hate speech has generated action. And so we are really working with the Sheriff's Department, both for the investigation as well as increased police presence and really taking care of ourselves. And I think what's really, really important is, too, that we, you know what, we refuse to live in fear. Not going to happen. So we are also encouraging people to show up like never before. And really step up, step out. We are not going to go backwards to fear, into hiding. And I think that's a really important thing for our community to understand, for the allies to understand, and for, you know, everyone to understand that, you know, we live in Southwest Michigan, which can be a safe place for everyone. It can be an equal place for everyone. And it starts with education, empathy, love, and courage. So we at the Out Center are very committed to all of those things and have a fabulous, fabulous community that's also committed to those things. I should say also a fabulous community of allies. So that's what's going on.
Right, and you want people who go to the Out Center to know it is a safe place to be. Police are helping you. All right, so you've notified police. They're providing security. Your staff is taking steps there as well. I don't want to get into the nature exactly of the threat. I mean, you told me about it, but basically it was just someone on Facebook.
We did report on Facebook that these were threats, and we'll see what Facebook does, but definitely deleted them and banned the Facebook user and just kept marching forward. As we always do, with programs, with pride, with love, and with a devotion to developing communities that care for everyone equally across Southwest Michigan.
Okay, and you mentioned the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. They have been helpful with you?
Oh, they've been fabulous. We've been going to the ALPACT meetings since January 2016 and have had the pleasure of working with quite a number of people within law enforcement within Berrien County, as well as some amazing state troopers. And so we're very, very happy to be working with them just in general. But, oh my gosh, you know, so grateful to them when stuff like this shows up. So they've been fabulous. Sheriff Bailey is absolutely amazing. So we're very, very, very comforted. And again, very sure of ourselves and affirming of ourselves that people are helping, that people are vigilant and watching, and that we will continue our march forward.
Okay, and you know, unfortunately, these incidents occur. But as far as supporters of the Out Center, is there anything they can do?
Yeah, they can donate to the Out Center, going to outcenter.org. They can also show up to events in record numbers, again, as a show of support, that we stand together in unity and love. And I think just watch online. And let's not let bullies reign the day. Let's not let bullies impact our mutual, I think, desire to have communities that are safe and continue to model the best of the best in humanity. All of those things support the Out Center mission. So step up and step out like never before.
We've been talking with the Out Center's Mary Jo Schnell. They notified supporters this week that they received a threat. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Mary Jo?
We hope people will come out to our events coming up. We have an event on Saturday at First Presbyterian Church in Benton Harbor. 4 o'clock, it's a free event to hear author Talena Erickson talk about her book, Unconditional, A Guide to Loving and Supporting Your LGBTQ Child. That's free. Okay. We have a community give back night coming up on Tuesday the 13th, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Lake House Restaurant and Bar. They are fabulous supporters of the Out Center, and they've got some really great deals going on. You can find both of those events on the Facebook, on the Out Center Facebook page. And we really hope to see people out there. We will be celebrating all we are as the diverse community in Southwest Michigan and recommitting to everyone to establish a equal society in Southwest Michigan, communities that care. That's it.
Okay, that was Mary Jo Schnell, director of the Out Center in Benton Harbor. If you're a supporter, stop by one of those events that she mentioned there. You can go to their Facebook page to find out about the events they've got going on this weekend. And, of course, the website, outcenter.org. And Mary Jo there telling us the Berrien County Sheriff's Department has been very helpful with their recent threat that they received. And they want everyone who backs them, who is a supporter, an advocate, to make it known. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now it's time for a break here on Our Take. When we come back, we will talk with the Berrien County Health Department's Jillian Conrad. She's come in here to talk with us about hepatitis A. This is a disease that they really would like to avoid seeing here in Berrien County, and they have some recommendations for how you can protect yourself. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Friday edition of the show. We're just about done with another one of these work weeks. Be sure to drive carefully when you head home tonight. You should have figured that out on your way in. Took me a good 40 minutes to get here. This is, of course, the show where we have conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen in Michigan's Great Southwest. We get the longer conversations, more in-depth looks at things you may have heard about on WSJM News as of late. On today's program, we chatted with Michigan State Police about the information everyone needs to know when there's a winter storm going on, like the one we've been having today. We also talked with the U.S. Coast Guard about ice safety. Last segment, we chatted with the Out Center in Benton Harbor following a threat they received online this week and their message for supporters. And right now, I thought we'd chat with the Berrien County Health Department. Berrien County Health Department, Jillian Conrad, has come in here to talk with me about hepatitis A and a couple of related issues. So let's hear what Jillian has to say. Okay, we're talking with the Berrien County Health Department's Jillian Conrad. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andrew.
So you wanted to talk today about hepatitis A. There's been some news about this disease over in some parts of Michigan, correct?
There has been. So people may or may not have heard about this in the news, but hepatitis A, we are currently experiencing an outbreak of hepatitis A in Michigan. Now, the outbreak areas have predominantly been focused on the southeast side of Michigan, so around the Detroit area, even into Lansing. But we are starting to see some of those cases creep a little bit over west towards our region. So what's happening in Michigan is basically since about August of last year, or August of 2016, rather, there's been more than 700 confirmed cases of hepatitis A that have been associated with this particular outbreak, including almost 25 deaths that have been associated with this outbreak. So it is a serious outbreak. And hepatitis A, for people who don't know, is a highly contagious liver disease. It causes liver swelling and damage, and you can get hepatitis A through a variety of methods, but oftentimes by eating contaminated food or drinking contaminated water. You can get it through sexual intercourse, and you can also get it through just being in close proximity with an infected person. So hepatitis A, like I said, is highly contagious, a disease of the liver, and it's something that we are constantly looking for in our communities throughout the state and keeping track of. So to date, Berrien County has not had any cases of hepatitis A that have been associated with the current outbreak happening in other parts of Michigan. But it is something, like I said, that we're on the lookout for and that we'll continue to monitor throughout the community. But we really want to reach the listeners today and tell them about hepatitis A as a precautionary measure, mostly for the fact that there is a vaccine available that protects against hepatitis A. This vaccine has been proven to be very safe, extremely effective against hepatitis A, and it's not one that most of the adult population received when they were children. So we really want to encourage our adult population to be thinking about getting the hepatitis A vaccine, especially if they fall into a high-risk category.
Okay.
So what are those high-risk categories? People who might be homeless, incarcerated, people who are using injection drugs, living in close contact or caring for somebody who might be diagnosed with hepatitis A is a good one. If you are in a sexual relationship with somebody who has hepatitis A, men who have sex with men, travelers who are going to countries with high rates of hepatitis A, food handlers, and that's a big population. We've got a lot of people out there who work in the restaurant industry, and it is very highly encouraged for food handlers to receive the hepatitis A vaccine because, like I said, you know, yes, you can contract this through sexual intercourse, but you can oftentimes just get it through food or contaminated water. And some of the larger recent outbreaks that we've seen in the United States have actually been caused by contaminated food.
Has that been the problem, you think, in Southeast Michigan? Do we know the cause?
So at this point, we still do not. We can't pinpoint any one particular cause for this outbreak. So, no, we don't really know at this point, but we do know that that transmission is person to person. And this current outbreak has had very high hospitalization rates, with nearly 9 out of every 10 people diagnosed with hepatitis A from this outbreak being hospitalized. And like I said, nearly 25 fatalities to date, which is a very high fatality rate. So normally with hepatitis A, you know, you contract it. If you're coming in contact with food or liquid or other objects that, you know, have been infected by somebody who has hepatitis A, you know, within 15 to sometimes up to 50 days. So it could be a couple of months, actually, before you start to feel symptoms. And in a lot of cases, you feel very sick for several weeks. You might require hospitalization, but then you're able to get better. So for those people who have compromised immune systems or other underlying chronic issues, that can be very, very serious, and they can die, like has been proven in this outbreak. But some of the symptoms of hepatitis A can include nausea and vomiting, pain in your belly area and your abdomen, just feeling tired, having a fever, loss of appetite. So it kind of sounds like the flu, right?
Right.
Which is a little confusing since this time of year we're in peak flu season right now. So some of those symptoms can really mirror those of just getting the flu or coming down with a bad cold, having the stomach bug. However, some of the more unique symptoms that you will notice if you do come down with hepatitis A, a yellowing of your eyes and skin, that's often called jaundice, and dark urine. It will be really, really dark, like brown looking, not normal looking pee. You can have pale colored stool or poop and joint pain. So some of these things that are a little bit unusual and you would not normally have if you were just coming down with a cold or with the flu. So if you are having any of those symptoms, we recommend seeking medical attention immediately.
Okay.
You can be tested for hepatitis A. But be put on treatment immediately.
So those last symptoms you mentioned, those would all indicate something's going on with your liver.
Absolutely. Right. Your liver is the one that is infected with hepatitis A and in charge of making sure that you are processing out toxins and those sorts of things in your body. And so when that gets infected and issues happen with your liver, you can get that jaundice and just have urine and fecal issues.
Okay, so now the health department, you're offering people a chance to get this vaccine?
We are. So there's a couple of different things that we've been doing throughout the community. Obviously, we want to be able to get the word out about hepatitis A, that it is vaccine preventable. And like I mentioned earlier, the majority of the adult population does not have this vaccine. They did not receive this vaccine when they were children. Now, new children and babies do receive the hepatitis A vaccine as part of the regular immunization schedule. So children should be protected. But adults who especially are in those high-risk categories are definitely recommended to get a hepatitis A vaccine. And at the Berrien County Health Department, there's a few things that we're doing. Of course, we will help assess for any of those risk factors that I mentioned earlier and make sure that if you are in need of a vaccine, that we are able to do that. We do offer our vaccines on a sliding fee scale, meaning that if you do not have insurance or your insurance does not cover the entirety of the vaccine, according to your income, you will may not have to pay the full price of the vaccine. You might even slide all the way down on the scale to zero and not have to pay anything. So we definitely never turn anybody away for inability to pay. And we want to vaccinate our entire population if possible. So definitely, you know, give us a call, even if you have that concern with not having insurance or the means to pay for the vaccine. There are many pharmacies around the area that are also offering the vaccine. So just asking or giving them a call. The doctor's offices, the family physician's offices don't tend to carry this vaccine quite as frequently. So certainly if you've got a family physician, you're interested, please ask, give them a call. But do know that many of the pharmacies in the area do carry the hepatitis A vaccine.
Okay. Is it a shot?
It is. It's actually a series of two shots given 6 months apart.
Okay.
So even if you only receive one dose of the hepatitis A vaccine, you are getting a lot of protection from that illness. However, you're getting kind of the full immunity, as they say, after the two doses.
Now, you mentioned an event in Niles.
Yes, absolutely. So we're coming up on Valentine's Day. You know, this is the time of the year that there's lots of love going around and people are thinking about being in love and doing things that people in love do. So it's also a really good time to be tested for STDs and HIV.
What could be more romantic?
What could be romantic? But do you know what, Andrew? It really actually is a wonderful gift that you can give your partner by telling them, I know my status, and I know, you know, if I have STDs, I'm able to disclose that information, be upfront and honest, and if you are on treatment, disclose that information as well, or be able to give your partner the news that you have a clean bill of health and you don't have anything, right, any STDs. So it actually is a wonderful thing that we really highly encourage people who are in sexual relationships to know their status, both for STDs and for HIV. This is something that's really important. You know, at the health department, our job is to help prevent and control the spread of disease, including HIV and STD. And we are a high incidence county for both STDs and HIV. So this is a problem that, you know, we're dealing with here in Berrien County. And we want people to feel empowered to get tested and know their status. And, you know, whether they're positive or negative, that they can definitely get the information that they need to get to get treated and be able to be honest with their partners with that. So the event that we're having, getting to those details, it's going to be on Friday, February 16th. So a couple days after Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. It is going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. And that is at the Berrien County Health Department location in Niles. And for those of you who don't know, that's right on Front Street, just a little bit ways away from the downtown, in the county building where the courthouse is. The health department is adjacent, attached to that same building. It's just on the side, and there's signs that kind of point you in that direction. So you can come down to the health department there in Niles, get tested for STDs and HIV. It's a very quick test. It only takes, you know, 15 to 20 minutes or so. We will have some snacks, some refreshments. We have some hourly drawings going away for gift cards. So to make it a little bit worth your while, you can come down and put your name in the hat for a gift card. And we are doing this event in partnership with Southwest Michigan Cares and Lakeland Health will also be there. So this is a great event. We're really trying to encourage people to come down, get tested. And at this event, you can also receive the hepatitis A vaccine. So I've been talking a lot about the vaccine, how important that is, especially if you fall into one of these high-risk groups. And so at that event, you know, you can get tested for STD and HIV as well as receive that vaccine.
Great. Well, you know, I mean, it sounds funny, Valentine's Day.
I know.
but it makes sense, actually. If you're in a, relationship, you should
absolutely
have that information.
It is a little bit of a taboo subject, and not everybody wants to talk about that. But like I said, it is a wonderful gift that you can give your partner. That open, honest communication we know is so important for successful relationships. And knowing your status and being able to share that with your partner is important as well.
All right. That was Berrien County Health Department spokesperson Jillian Conrad telling us, first of all, about the importance of getting that hepatitis A vaccine. Earlier in the show, I may have said hepatitis C. It's hepatitis A they're talking about here. They want to stop an outbreak of it from spreading to Berrien County because it's been spreading around southeast Michigan. The vaccine's a good way to do it, and they will be offering that vaccine. And also free STD testing next Friday at the health department office down in Niles. Give your Valentine the gift of a clean bill of health at this event they're holding next Friday at the Berrien County Health Department in Niles. Give them the call if you want to find out more information about that event. We appreciate Jillian's time here on Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We're just about done with today's edition of Our Take, but very quickly, I thought I'd give you a box office preview since this is Friday. Now, our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, couldn't come in here to talk movies with me because he is out ill. I hope he doesn't have the flu, but I'll tell you what's new at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor. Hey, speaking of Valentine's Day, what could be more romantic than a new 50 Shades movie? 50 Shades Freed is out. This is, the third one in that trilogy. I haven't seen either of the other two, and I understand that this one actually, a few things actually happen in this movie, so if you're interested, that's available. Also new this week is Peter Rabbit. That's a movie for kids, mischievous and adventurous rabbit who has captivated generations of readers, now takes on a starring role of his own in a new comedy, and I've seen very mixed reviews for Peter Rabbit. Not really my cup of tea. Also new, we've got 1517 to Paris. This is Clint Eastwood's new movie. This is about a terrorist attack. It's a true story, a terrorist attack on a train back in 2015, and this movie kind of has a gimmick to it. The stars of the film, or some of them anyway, are the actual, I guess, military guys who thwarted this terrorist attack. So that could be good or it could not be good, but it's an Eastwood movie, so that could be a hot ticket this weekend. 1517 to Paris. Also still playing, we've got Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. That's a very good dark comedy. I would recommend checking that out. The Shape of Water is still playing, and apparently Jumanji is still in theaters. I may actually get around to finally seeing that because I have seen all of the Oscar-nominated films, all the Best Picture nominees I have checked out. So now I can go back to seeing Junk. So I might check out Jumanji this weekend. Well, if I really wanted to see Junk, I'd check out that 50 Shades movie. But anyway, you've got some new options. I recommend checking out Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this weekend. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take and another week of shows. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to drive carefully all this weekend, as you should be every weekend. We should be back Monday, same time, same station. In the meantime, have an excellent weekend.